All right, 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. Just going to go ahead and jump right into the message today. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2. And I told my wife this morning, I stayed up all night long last night studying and praying about what the Lord would have me to preach. I don't like canned messages, amen?
Amen.
I don't like things that, you know, it's just prepackaged. I don't like prepackaged meals, amen? I don't like, you know, those little Lunchable things. I think those are rip-off, amen? I don't like canned music. I don't like canned messages. I don't like pre-prepared kind of stuff. I'm not saying that not to study. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying a one size fits all. Because one size doesn't fit all. Amen? So I try to pray and prepare a message. I have never met y'all. I don't know the congregation. But try to get something from the Lord. And this morning, last night, I stayed up and I prayed. And I told my wife later, I said, you know, that message I preached, I had no plan on preaching that message. It just got up there and the Lord changed my direction. And so... kind of going that way here as well. I don't know when I'm going to preach that message. I mean, the Lord will show it to me later. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But anyway, 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 is where we'll be. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. If you would stand with me out of the reverence to the reading of the Lord's Word. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, yet except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your great love and mercy to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us today. We pray, Lord, that you would touch and use me, Lord. God, there's nothing that I can say. There's nothing that I can do to be a blessing, to be a help to these folks, to be an encouragement to them. There's nothing that I can do to touch their hearts. But Lord, you can. And Lord, I just pray that you would do a work that I can't do. And Lord, you would reprove us where we need reproof. And that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Lord, I need help today. And I pray that you would help me. And Lord, I just pray that you'd take my feeble efforts and touch my stammering lips and preach to the people today. We love you, Lord. And we pray that you'd help us to love you more. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, may you get all the honor and the glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And I love that that verse right there in verse number 4. He said, "No man that warreth entangleth with himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And I love the fact Christ chose me. I'm not a Calvinist, amen. I don't believe that God chose some to go to heaven and he chose others to go to hell. I believe that does a disgrace to the love of my Savior, amen. But I do believe that Christ Jesus looked down through the portals of time and he said, "This one will receive me," and he chose me. He decided that he would die to save my soul, amen. And he, before I was lovable, amen. I'm still not very lovable, amen. But before that, I ever had possessed the ability to love Christ, because in me is no good thing, and I cannot possess the ability to love Christ, but instead, he loved me, and therefore, I love him. Amen? That's what the Bible says. We love him because he first loved us. And God looked down and he said, you know, he doesn't love me, he doesn't want me, he just wants his own selfish way, but I love him anyway. And Christ chose me, and he decided to die for me so that he could make me, not only so that he could clean me up and make me a saint of God and to give me a home in heaven. And if he had just saved my soul from hell, that would have been enough. But then he also gave me a home in heaven, and then he also put me in his work. Amen. And then he said that when I get to heaven, he's going to reward me for the work that he enabled me to do, as though I did something. And you can't beat a deal with that with a stick. Amen? And so praise God for his glorious goodness. Amen. I don't know why in the world he would love a sinner such as I am, but I thank the Lord that he did. That's not what I'm preaching on. That's free. Amen. It's that, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Now, this passage has been preached out of many, many times. I preached at it many, many times. And if you've been in church for any length of time, and I know many of y'all have been saved longer than I've been alive, and I know you've heard this before, okay? You've heard many messages preached out of this before. I'm not going to bring you anything new, but hopefully we'll be able to cover something that will help you today. And the Bible says in verse number 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. You want to please God, amen?
Amen.
Amen. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I'd like to look today at two of the most deadly enemies of the saint of God. Two of the most deadly enemies of the servant of God. Or if you're going to do the Lord's work, you're going to face opposition. Now, it's not because God's going to take your life and ruin it. That's not it at all. All right. A lot of people are afraid that if they submit themselves to God, then their house is going to fall in from a blizzard. Amen. That's not necessarily in the equation. All right. But I tell you, there's a lot of people who are reluctant to step out there by faith and trust God with their life. Okay. There's a song that I've been contemplating working with my family. In fact, I think we're going to try to get it down pretty soon. And the title of the song is, Please Don't Send Me to Africa. You know, and you stop and think about it. You know, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do the other for you, Lord, but don't send me to Africa. Don't send me somewhere where, I'm going to have all these problems in life. We feel like God's going to wreck our lives. That's not the case. God is a merciful and loving Savior. He's a loving Father. And he wants what's best for his children. And we need to learn to trust him. There are times that my children face some things coming from me they don't like. There are some times, bless their hearts, that I put them through some things that they don't like. But you know what? I try to, as a father, make sure that it's for their good. Amen? And that's my purpose. My purpose is never to harm them. It's never to hurt them. But it's to build them up and it's to grow them and to make them stronger. Okay? And that's exactly what the Lord's purpose is for us, is to make us strong in the Lord. And there are times in that growing process we're going to have to endure hardness. Okay? There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some enemies that we're going to face. And it's for your good. Now, let's clarify something. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Okay. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Serving Jesus Christ is far better than serving your flesh.
Amen.
It's far better than serving the world. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Now there's a blessing in the world, but there's a lot of sorrow that comes with it.
Amen.
Okay, so let's get that clear right from the beginning, okay? But as a child of God, you will, if you are serving God, the devil's going to fight you, and you're going to face some hard things, all right? And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all have been there. You've probably been through many, many more things than I have, all right? But I want to try to encourage you with this. First off, the first thing that we see, he said, no man that warreth, thou therefore endure hardness. Endure hardness. Now, hardness is not the enemy here. It's not. Okay? He said to endure hardness. And a lot of times we look at hardness, we look at hard times in our life, and we think, this is the problem. No, that's not the problem. Okay? We can endure and do anything that God wants us to do through his strength. All right? We can. And he will not lay upon us anything that we are not able to bear. All right? He is our Father. Amen? And he controls all things.
Amen.
All right? He is able to intervene and intervene on our behalf. Amen? The problem is not the hardness. The problem is when we become discouraged with it. Okay? The problem is when we see the circumstances around us, like Peter did when he was out walking on the sea, and we see the winds and the waves, and we take our eyes off the Lord. And we start looking at our circumstances. And we let the hardness discourage us. The problem is not the hardness. The problem is when we don't endure. The enemy to the saint of God is discouragement. And there have been so many of God's men and God's women and God's servants that have looked around and they said, well, I've served God for naught. And like Jeremiah said, ever since I've opened my mouth for the Lord, it's been violence and spoil. And I'm so weary of it. I'm so tired of it. I can't take it anymore. And I quit. I'm discouraged. And they quit. Okay? We don't want to be one who falls to discouragement. Remember who it is that you are serving. Now, discouragement comes in many different forms. Many, many different forms. But I want to just look at three of them today. Just three of them. The first one, look over in Proverbs in chapter number 18 and verse number 14. Proverbs and chapter number 18. I want to try to help you today because a lot of times, you know, we see the service of the Lord and we're trying to encourage to do the service of the Lord. And many of us have been in the service of the Lord for a long time, but sometimes it just gets hard. Okay? And I want to try to encourage you to stay at it. Amen? Proverbs in chapter number 18 and verse number 14. The Bible says this: the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Okay, so, in other words, you can cut me, you can beat me, you can hurt me, you can do whatever you want to this flesh. And depending on what it is for the reason why you're doing that to me, I may just be so determined that won't stop me. But you wound my spirit, you discourage me, you tear me down from the inside. The Bible says you can't even put up with somebody who's discouraged like that. Okay? See, the devil knows if he can discourage you, he's got you. All right? He knows if he can weaken your heart, if he can make you think that it's not worth it, then he's got you. And oftentimes discouragement comes through deep hurt. It comes through deep hurt. Ever been stabbed in the back? Okay, I think every single one of us probably have, all right? Ever had somebody mistreat you? Somebody that you trusted? Somebody that you loved? Okay, listen, don't let that discourage you. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that pull your eyes off of Christ. Discouragement will come from deep hurt. And there will be people you love and you trust and you want to be with, and they will push you aside. And the devil will raise them up to fight against you. Okay? Say, well, the devil will do that. Well, didn't Jesus look at Peter and say, get thee behind me, Satan? Right? The devil was whispering in his ear. All right? And when a child of God gets away from the Lord, watch out. Okay? Because don't think that the devil can't steer you in the other direction. All right? Better pay attention. You better walk closely with the Lord. And if, honestly, most of the time, we don't have to deal with the devil anyway. It's just our stinking sorry flesh. Amen? We really do. Because we're selfish creatures. And when things don't go our way, guess what we do? All right? And we get this old bitter heart involved. And you know what we do? We hurt the people we love the most. Because the person that we truly love the most has been hurt. Me. Okay? Brother, I'm not used to a missionary preaching like this. Well, that's all right. I want to bring home to the reality, okay, of serving God. Sometimes it hurts when other people when other people don't serve God the way they ought to and they lash out at you, people that you trust. And keep your eyes on Christ when this happens. All right? Also, drowned hopes. All right? Drowned hopes. Look in Proverbs in chapter number 13. Proverbs in chapter number 13. This is another thing that will discourage you. And like I said, it comes in many, many different forms. But this is just a few things. All right? Proverbs 13, chapter number 13, verse number 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Brother, been in the ministry for a while. Has everything ever always gone your way? The way that you thought? Have you ever planned anything and then it just completely went haywire? Yeah, absolutely. It happens. And there will be times when you will step out to serve God and you say, God's got to be in this. This is a great idea. I mean, look how many people we're going to be able to reach. Just look, just think about what we can do. And you step out there by faith and all of a sudden, things don't go the way you planned.
Right.
Things just don't come together. And by the way, that doesn't necessarily mean that God's not in it. Sometimes we have good intentions. Sometimes we're serving the Lord, and all of a sudden it's just like we're hitting a brick wall every time we turn around. Listen, just stay faithful to God. Amen. Just stay faithful to God. Don't let your what you had planned, your ideas, and how you thought things were supposed to go, don't let that discourage you. All right? The Bible says that man deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Okay? We might have many, many ideas of where we want to go and how we want to do it, and those might be good things. But let God guide you every step of the way, and you won't go wrong. Not only that, but Galatians in chapter number 6, verse number 9. Just simple, disappointing happenstance. There are things that just happen. And there are things that just happen that can really just beat you down. Listen, don't get in the mully grubs about it. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there are so many Christians that walk around looking like they've been sucking on dill pickles and persimmons. I mean, they're just sad. They're really sad. And we don't have any reason to be downcast and downtrodden as a child of God. I mean, we're only going to heaven. That's nothing to think about. I mean, we're only saved eternally. We can never lose our salvation. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, is the one who loves you with all of his heart. That's nothing to get excited about. So we should not ever smile. Amen. Galatians in chapter number 6 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Okay? Let's not be weary in well-doing. Okay? There are times when you're doing well. You're doing good. You ought to be. Amen. You ought to be doing good and doing well all the time. There are times when it's difficult. And there are times when you get bored. Okay? There are times when you get tired. You're just wore out. There are times when you just don't feel like going any further. There are times when you feel like nobody cares. There are times when you feel like you're underappreciated. Nobody notices. Listen. Who are you doing this for? Does God see? Does he care? Does he notice? Amen. Don't be weary in well-doing. There are times when we just don't see results. Amen. Serve God. Serve God. Keep at it. All right, so not only do we see not only do we see discouragement as one of those enemies of the saint of God, of God's servants. But flip back with me to 2 Timothy, and let's look at the other one. All right, 2 Timothy in chapter number 2, and verse number 4. No man that warreth, that's us, right? Okay, we're soldiers of the cross, right? We sang that this morning? Amen. All right, there's a few amens, all right? No man that warreth entangleth himself. I don't think that's a hard word to understand. Everybody knows what it means to be entangled. All right. I love ropes. All right? I always tell my children, there are two things that a man can never have too much of. He can't have too much Bible, and he can't have too much rope. But the thing about ropes, you have to be careful how you store them. You have to be careful how you use them, because if you're not careful, you'll get them all tangled up. And then when there's nothing more annoying than having a rope that's been mistreated, somebody isn't stored right, or maybe somebody misused, and it takes you 30 minutes. Do this, okay? And honestly, I think the pastor probably understands. I wasn't planning on doing this. I think sometimes the pastor feels that way with some of his church members. They get all entangled up in stuff, and it takes them forever. And you're like, well, you know, the Lord could use you, but, you know, we got to do a little bit of this. All right? Yeah. So what is that entanglement right here? Okay? And the Lord definitely does that. I know the Lord does that with me an awful lot. He says, you know, Daniel, I was planning on this for you, but since you've got that in your life, now I've got to sit here and disentangle you for a while, all right? Amen. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, listen, he did not say entangleth himself with sin. And a lot of times that's how we read this passage. That's not what he said. He said the affairs of this life. Okay? You know what that is? Just living. It's just living. Okay? I live in Alaska. In the summertime, we're busy. I mentioned that we have three seasons. And one of those seasons is winter is coming. And I meant that, okay? Because that's exactly how we treat it. Winter is coming, and you better do everything that you've got to do in this short amount of time, because it's coming whether you're ready or not. Okay? And so we get so busy. We get very, very busy, and everybody does. If you live in Alaska, you have to, all right? And so busyness is just a part of life. But we can't get so busy that we forget to serve God in the midst of our busyness. And you know, this world is full of not only busyness, but also our own desires. Look at 2 Timothy in chapter number 4 and verse number 10. I won't keep you very much longer, so don't get too anxious on me, all right? 2 Timothy in chapter number 4, all right? Just open your ears and see if the Lord has something for you today. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. If you look back into Acts chapter number 13, you'll find early on, right after the Holy Ghost told the elders, he said, separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry that I've called them to. And they set sail. They took John, the Bible says there, and later it clarifies and says that it was John Mark, okay? And they took John to be their minister. Say, what was John doing? He was chief cook and bottle washer. Yeah. That's what he was. The Bible says that he was their minister. And I don't know, maybe it was that the Bible says that he loved this present world. And I don't know what it was that sparked it in John's heart, whether it was just that he saw the hardness of the ministry. Some people believe that. He saw the problems that came, and he got discouraged with that. He may have just gotten tired of washing Barnabas's coffee cup 40 times a day. You know, I don't know exactly what it was. Maybe he just felt like, you know, well, you know what, you know how Jesus rebuked Martha, you know, and all this other stuff. We don't know exactly what it was, but we do know that something pulled his eyes off of the work of God and set his eyes on the things of this world. Okay? And the Bible tells us we're not to be entangled with the things of this life. And I don't know, there's this thing, maybe you've heard of it. There's this thing that's been going on for a while called Facebook. Okay? And there's one thing, I hate Facebook. I do. And one thing that I can't stand about Facebook is that everywhere you turn, it's like there's something else that is pushing at you. Not just ideas, but advertisements and just ideas and junk. Yes, sir. It's junk constantly. And this fluffiness. I'm not going to get into all that, okay? But you get it through the media, you get it through the television, you get it through the radio, you get it through the billboards, you get it through people talking because your French can't talk like without talking like television. Amen? You get it from every angle of life, and it's just stuff, 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 stuff. And when we have one spare moment to clear our heads and think, one quiet moment in this busy life that we live, just running 90 miles per hour, going everywhere, what do we think about? Is it God? No, we think about stuff, 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 stuff. And the things that I've seen and the advertisement, oh, I want this. And you know, I've been really thinking about constant, 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 constant. Just the things in life distract us. And that's the other thing. Distraction. Distraction will pull your heart away from serving God. Now, that's as far as I'm going to go with that. I'm going to let the Lord take it just as far in your life as He needs to take it, all right? Luke in chapter number 9, we'll move on to the next point. Luke in chapter number 9. Praise the Lord, time's going slow. And if my watch is wrong, please don't tell me. Luke in chapter number 9. Luke in chapter number 9, verse number 59. Now, this is in the middle of a conversation. You could go back to verse number 57 and read the rest of it. It won't take you very long. Okay. Luke chapter number 59, I just want to look at this one verse here. Not pulling anything out of context, or out of context, okay? Verse 59, he said, this is Jesus speaking, and he said unto another, follow me. Now, I want you to understand what he said. Jesus looked at this individual, and he told him, follow me, all right? Just like he told Peter, James, and John, and the Bible says that they immediately arose and followed him, right? They left their fishing boat and they left everything. They followed him. All right. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now I want you to stop and think about what this man said. Yeah. Think about what's going on in his heart at this time. His father just died. Okay. This is a very serious thought. Look what Jesus responded. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, I want to key in on a couple of things here. First, Jesus called him, right? The last part of verse number 60 says, go and preach the gospel. Okay, go and preach the kingdom of God, rather. It says, go and preach the kingdom of God. All right? Jesus called this man to preach. Did he not? Okay. Jesus called this man to preach. This man, he didn't have worldly desires. He wasn't asking to go do something that was dishonorable. In fact, he wanted to go do something that was very honorable. Amen. And the Bible tells us that we are to honor our father and mother. Amen? Amen? Amen. He said, Lord, my father died. Please, just I'll follow you. I'll go wherever you want me to. Just let me first go honor my father. Let me go bury him. Now that sits heavy on me. I love my father. My father has been a great counselor to me, and I look up to him. I owe him much. And I'm not looking forward to the day when my father passes away. But I know my dad. And my dad, if he knew that attending his funeral would pull me away from duties that I needed to attend to on the mission field, he'd want me to stay in the mission field. Why? Because family is not God.
Amen.
That's a hard pill to swallow. Okay? That's a hard one for me to swallow. But that's what Jesus said. Family is not God. You serve God first.
Amen.
And if family comes between you and serving God, you serve God.
Amen.
We're commanded in the Word of God to honor our father and our mother. Don't get me wrong on that. I am not saying that at all. But we honor God first.
Yes, amen.
And a lot of times the duties of life will distract us. And we'll say, well, I have to do this. And I've got to do this. And my family is counting on me for this. Can you imagine if this... The Bible doesn't tell us whether or not he did it or not.
That's true.
But can you imagine if he did let the dead bury their dead and followed Christ and went and preached like he was told to? Can you imagine how his family talked about him? Can you imagine what they said about him? He would have been the lowest thing. They would probably spit every time they said his name. He wouldn't even show up to his own dad's funeral. And he was supposed to be one of the pallbearers. Listen, how much is serving Christ worth to you? Jesus said, if you love father or mother or sister or brethren or wife or children more than me, you're not worthy of me. Jesus Christ gave his all for you. Okay? We really ought to give our all for him. See, that's hard, brother. That's hard. I know it is. Okay? Take some time. Chew on it. Take however much time you need to. All right? I'm not trying to lay on anything any harder burden than what the Lord's laid on us, really. This is the words of God. But the demands of life will try to distract you from serving God. Deep hurt will try to distract you from serving God. Your drowned hopes will try to discourage you from serving God. Your disappointing circumstances and happenstance will try to discourage you from serving God. And your desires will try to distract you from serving God. And lastly, in 2 Samuel in chapter number 20, verse number 1 through 13, we read a very, very sad and astonishing account. And I just want to use it to illustrate a point here. Here you've got David in his early kingdom, and he's facing a problem because a man by the name of Sheba is trying to raise a revolt against him. And so David looks at a man by the name of Amasa, and he says, go and gather the people together, and let's pursue after Sheba, because if we don't, and I'm paraphrasing it, he said, if we don't, then he's going to get fenced cities, and he's going to raise an army, he's going to cause a revolt, and we're going to have a big problem on our hands. Okay? And so Sheba goes out, and the Bible says that he took longer than he was supposed to, because David set up an appointed time, and he was supposed to be back in, and Sheba never returned during that time. So finally, David said, you know, we're working on a really tight schedule here. We've got to get this done now. And so he tells Joab and Abishai, he says, go after them and pursue after Sheba. Okay? Didn't send him after Amasa, he sent him after Sheba, the guy who's raised in the revolt. So they go out there, and on the way to take down Sheba, to take down Sheba, they meet Amasa coming back. And the Bible says, as Joab went, his sword fell out of his sheath. And he reached down and he picked up his sword. And he goes to greet Amasa. And the Bible says that he reached out to grab him, take him by the beard, as though he was going to kiss him and greet him. And took the sword and struck him under the fifth rib and shot out his bowels to the ground, the Bible says. Now, who was Joab supposed to be after? It wasn't Amasa. David didn't send him to go kill Amasa. Okay? Amasa was one of the king's servants, okay? So the Bible says that everybody who saw that horrible act stopped, and they just stared. What just happened? How can he do that? What's going on? And the Bible says that they would not go any further. They just came there, and they just stared, and they stared at the man laying there, wallowing in his blood. And I'm not trying to be gruesome, but that's what the Bible says. Okay? And eventually, they finally had to take Amasa. They had to cover him with a cloth and move him out of the highway. And then the people went on to pursue after Sheba to do the will of the king. Okay? Now listen, I want to make a practical application in your life today to this story. All right? There will be things that will happen in the Christian life that will devastate you. Things that you would have thought would have never happened. Things that you will look at and go, how is this possible? What in the world is going on? And it will cause you to literally freeze and stop in your tracks. And the only thing that you can think about in every moment, you all this is just going on in your head, and you, what is happening? And it's all you can think about, and it literally freezes you up. There will be devastating things that may happen to you. Not necessarily, but they may. They may. By the way, they happen to a lost person too. We covered that earlier. All right? Listen, don't let that stop you from following Christ. Okay? Don't let that thing, whatever has happened to you in your life, whatever experience it was, whatever person it was, whatever, don't let that pull your heart away to where all you can do is dwell on that and let that bitterness build up on the inside of you and let that overwhelm you and overtake you to the point where you wrestle with it. You need to give it over to Christ. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Okay? A care is something that you have no control over. You can't do anything with it. Give it to the Lord. I'm going to give you this illustration. Please do not take this wrong. Okay? I'm going to give you this illustration. I'm going to close. I don't want you to take this the wrong way. I want you to understand first and foremost, let me preface this by saying, the Bible says that grievous wolves would enter into the church. Okay? The Bible also tells us that that Satan himself has appeared as a minister, as an angel of light. And no marvel that his ministers also, Satan's ministers, as ministers of light. Okay, there are people out there who are claiming to be Christians, claiming to be preachers, claiming to be something they're not. Okay, there are people who are claiming to love God and they're not. They're looking to devour. Okay, so I want to preface that by saying this, okay? Or I want to say this first. Anyway, my father-in-law, my wife was adopted when she was two, and her adoptive parents were older in years. My father-in-law has now passed on to be with the Lord. My father-in-law loved the Lord. He got saved out of the Methodist church, and became a Baptist, amen, and because he started reading his Bible, amen, and he started attending church faithfully and getting involved and doing what God wanted him to do. Loved the Lord, always in his Bible, always reading and serving God with all of his heart. One year, just shortly after he'd been saved, his pastor, who was getting close to, fell into sin. And the church had to throw him out. Just absolutely tore that man to pieces. But he didn't quit. He said, no, I'm not looking to God. I'm not looking to this man, I'm looking to God. Because I believe this book. He went on, joined another church, started serving the Lord. That pastor fell into gross sin. They had to throw him out. He kept going. He joined another church, serving. This happened to this man. He would join a church, serving there for a little while, get heavily involved, and his pastor would do some awful act that literally got him removed. Sometimes they were stealing from the church. Sometimes they were doing much worse things. This happened to this man four times. Four times. My father-in-law served the Lord until the day he died. Say, well, he was just stubborn. No. No. He may have been stubborn, but that's not why. The reason why was because he did not have his eyes on a man. He had his eyes on God.
Amen. Amen.
He had his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to challenge you and encourage you today to do. Things are going to discourage you. Things are going to distract you. Don't get your eyes on things. Don't get your eyes on people. Don't get your eyes on the circumstances, on the winds and the waves. Get your eyes on Christ. Keep them there. Serve God until the day you die.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your love and mercy to us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us today to not give in to the enemy, but, Lord, to love you and serve you more and more, more and more.